You can already tell that the lyrics of this next artist can be very political, and that's why I really appreciate her work. Jessica Xavier has been a transgender activist for many years and also expresses herself musically. When I did my first special on transgender music in August of 2000, it was one of her songs that I chose to close the show. Her first album was called Changeling, and she's back now, this time with a band called Femme Messiah. Who is Jessica Xavier?
Well, she is a openly bisexual, transsexual woman, but because of all of the advocacy work that I do, I get labeled as a transgender advocate, although my personal identity is transsexual woman. Neither term alone, either transsexual or woman, describes all that I am. So I tend to use both terms. I'm also a singer-songwriter, and that has become my principal means of not only communicating a message to others, but also processing a lot of my trans experience in my life, being out loud and proud as a queer person in an intolerant society. So that's kind of how I came to become a songwriter. It became a form of therapy. It was a lot more fulfilling personally to express myself that way, and also it's a lot cheaper than having to pay a psychotherapist.
You've also got quite a background in activism.
Yeah, I worked in the trans political movement for about 7 years and then left that in 99, and now I'm exclusively focused on healthcare advocacy. I have actually been working in the HIV epidemic for the past 21 years, and I'm very proud to be an HIV warrior. I've been focusing a lot right now on the hidden epidemic of HIV amongst trans women, particularly trans women of color.
Could you mention some of the other activism in your past, some of the other groups you've been involved with?
Well, I was a co-founder of It's Time America, and which was a trans political organization in the 90s that had about 25 state chapters, and I led It's Time Maryland, one of those state chapters. And I was involved with various kind of LGBT events, like the 1993 March on Washington, the 1994 Stonewall 25 commemoration. So I do kind of trans-focused stuff, but I also am a kind of a mainstream queer activist as well.
Tell us about the new CD.
It's a collection of tunes, some of which go back to the early 90s when I was in an all-transgender quartet called The Cherries. Later, I started working with my friend David Machen, who's a good guitar player, on Changeling. But the songs are all about processing this experience of being, you know, a beautiful flower trying to live in a very harsh environment. Orchids are, by nature, very exotic and very erotic. So there was a sexual energy in there, as well as this notion of trying to be beautiful and honest and living a life of integrity while facing the consequences and dealing with the really harsh environment.
Well, that explains the name of the album, Orchids in the Arctic. How about the name of the group?
Femme Messiah. Well, originally I wanted to call the band Girl Jesus, but we had a very devout Christian in the group, and she didn't like that. But a friend of ours suggested Femme Messiah, and we went with that. Sort of speaks to the power, I think, of, you know, redemption through gender transition, salvation through sex change, that kind of notion. There is a certain power that we come to embrace in our femininity, in our womanhood, that I think transsexual women do understand.
Tell us about the Rainbow Song.
The Rainbow Song was written when I was in gender transition, semi-autobiographical, but I'm expressing this process about coming out and being lost and struggling with self-acceptance and finding myself alone and scared and frightened by these thoughts and images that are happening in my head, and then all of a sudden after I come out, they're happening to me in actual life. And then, through the wonder of discovery, I find that I'm not alone. There are others like me, that I am just one color in a much, much brighter, broader rainbow filled with lovely colors and wonderful people. And that spectrum, honoring that wonderful difference and diversity and range of possibilities is what makes LGBT people so unique and so special. That's our gift to the rest of humanity.
When I was small, I dreamed of colors unseen by anyone else. So filled with fear, I understood and I kept my dreams to myself. While growing up, I learned my lesson, how difficult different it is. As the others came, separate us as yours, mine, hers, his. I tried to hide what I felt inside, but they could tell all along. When the truth tells lies behind your eyes, is it so very wrong? Once I had grown,
please tell us about the song, Male Privilege.
Well, in 1994, I had gone to Camp Trans, which is the ongoing protest against the exclusionary policies of the Michigan Women's Music Festival. They do not allow transsexual women to attend the festival or be on the land. And that's really based on a lot of misunderstanding and fear and distrust and paranoia. So the protest has been going on for all these years to try to get them to change their policy. And this song is just kind of like follows up on that. Transsexual women tend to get accused of having male privilege. We continue to, in the eyes of some lesbian feminists, we continue to cleave to it and to continue to act that way in a male entitled sort of fashion. And one of the lesbian feminists, actually a separatist who is most guilty of that, is Alex Dobkin. So I read this song for Alex, and just so she could understand that my male privilege was never fully vested, that I never really used it, that this was something that made me feel suicidal when I was growing up with it. So my male privilege consisted of feeling really bad about being forced into male behaviors that were not appropriate, that didn't fit, that made me uncomfortable, that put me at risk for physical assault and one time even sexual assault by males who perceived me as being less than male. So it wasn't a happy, privileged male existence. It was torturous growing up. And that's what I wanted to write about. Yeah, that's another song that's semi-autobiographical. Growing up, not wanting to be a boy, but wanting to be a girl. And then struggling to survive and figuring out how to deal with it.
Once was a time I really looked like a boy, 'cause nature played me the fool. Though I looked like a boy, I really felt like a girl, born to break all their rules. Though I knew I was a she, they all thought I was a he, and tried to make me a man. But I just couldn't ignore it, I was gender dysphoric, and no one would understand. As I grew strong and tall, I didn't want to at all, and so I tried to kill myself. That was my male privilege, born a transsexual girl. That was my male privilege, for being a transsexual.
By women so much harder than I. When I hear their hate, it just makes my heart break, as if I've somehow done them wrong. No matter how we began, my real sisters understand that each of us must belong. Yes, no matter how we've all began, we know and love and understand that we must keep each other strong. All women welcome, can't be wrong.
What's my name? I'm a transsexual girl. That was my privilege for being a transsexual.
I'd like to hear about the song Gender.
Gender is kind of like a howl. It's an expression of rage, of kind of absolute angst and anger over the top. If you read some of the stuff that Kate Bornstein has written about gender, gender becomes such a powerful social control mechanism. And it's quite often, it's the hidden machine. It's not there. I mean, people don't really recognize it, just how it's shaping their behaviors. I do diversity trainings for the Metropolitan Police Department here in the District of Columbia. And one of the things I tell them is that a lot of straight men are not aware about how powerful homophobia is in their lives in shaping their behaviors. Any straight man that gets called a faggot is going to stand up and defend himself, and there's going to be violence. And a lot of the times, if you're straight, you don't even realize that that's what caused it. It's homophobia. So we're not aware of these powerful social control mechanisms in our lives. And I think gender was kind of like an expression of just that kind of pure rage against this hidden machine, this means of controlling our behaviors. And it kind of works pretty well as a over-the-top punk song.
It reminded me of something Jane County might sing.
Yeah. Jane, God bless her. She's the fairy godmother of all trans women songwriters.
Gender, you blindly follow.
from the album Orchids in the Arctic by Femmessiah, that was Gender. Up next, from Jessica's solo album, Changeling, she talks about the song This Girl.
My personal coming out song, it's affirming about who I was at the time. I needed to write a song like that to kind of lay out the boundaries and explain who I was and why I was doing this and what type of girl I was going to be.
This girl. Focuses her steady gaze on you. That boy notices he hasn't got a clue. Could be she's unafraid to make the notions known. Maybe this charade is something she's outgrown. And this girl has seen everything. She's played on both sides. If there's doubt about why she's out, she's let her heart decide. This girl, this girl, this girl's traded in her tomboy blue for pink. That boy's faded grin, he doesn't even think. Could be she's realized that he can't make her blue. Maybe she's decided what is and isn't true. And this girl has seen everything. She's learned her degree. And she chooses to be herself, 'cause that's what sets her free.
Do you think the meaning of the word transgendered has been changing?
To a certain extent, yeah. In the early 90s, this term transgender got coined and became the general label for this entire population. The term itself was quite kind of evolutionary at the time because we had this giant gulf between transsexuals who gender transitioned and had surgeries and crossdressers who didn't. And along came this term transgender, and all of a sudden it opened up all these other possibilities because people could live in genders opposite their physical sexes without having surgery. And that was a kind of a radical notion at the time. So as the term has evolved over time, it's an umbrella term, it's also an individual identity term. And it continues to mean more and more things because of the numbers of individual identities that are contained in it. So it's still evolving, absolutely. And the language for it is struggling to keep up with it because it's evolving so quickly.
I want to talk about the album Changeling. It was really the first album that I came upon that politically talked about the trans experience, and I found that kind of a landmark recording.
Yeah, thank you. It was quite a struggle to get that CD out. It took a lot of effort. It was my first. I made a lot of mistakes on it. And I wish I could have recorded it and sang it better. But lyrically, I think some of the songs really do stand out.
What struggles did you have recording that album?
Well, it took a long time to do. It took about 2 years. Financially, it was a huge struggle because I was not making a lot of money at the time. I had a lot of technical problems that were going on. I was also unemployed for 14 months. So for me to be able to produce that CD, it was a miracle. It was quite a miracle to get that thing out.
When we communicated about this before, about 5 years ago, you wrote me that transphobia played a big part in the struggles, because for you and other artists like you, you're often unemployed or underemployed, and it makes it that much more difficult.
Absolutely. And we're just beginning to create an audience for trans music now. There are enough openly transgendered artists now who are performing, who are finally getting following. Transphobia drove a lot of us underground, so the notion of being trans and coming to a show back in the 90s was really quite rare. Jane County managed to do it in New York, but in other places it's kind of difficult. There's a very high murder rate of transgendered people, especially transgendered women. Getting people to come to a show or even just show up and buy your CD is...
People would be afraid to come see you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, there's a challenge.
Yeah, try to find your audience when they don't want to be seen. We know they're out there, though, and now we've got the Internet, and Galley Records, our little record publishing company, finally put up a website. That's very helpful. I didn't have that with Changeling.
Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
Stonewall most certainly is one of those songs. I wrote that song very specifically back in the early 90s because I was concerned that we were getting 30 years on from the Stonewall Rebellion. And due to a lot of sociopolitical forces and identity politics and assimilation that our history was being lost, I was concerned because at the time we were fighting a lot of inclusion battles. Trying to become part of the gay and lesbian political agenda, and that was proving to be very difficult. And so Stonewall was kind of a reminder that trans people did play a very significant role in the birth of gay liberation. And my friend, sister, mentor, mother, hero, heroine, goddess, Sylvia Rivera, is really who the song was dedicated to. I knew Sylvia for 7 years, and she was one of the true heroes of the trans movement as well as the LGBT movement. And she loved the song and was very, very excited and happy that I had written it because she, too, was concerned that her place in history was going to be forgotten, and I'll never let that happen.
I think you have an interesting story about how you met her.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually doing a political presentation to the Metropolitan Gender Network in New York City. After I finished my presentation, in the course of it, I described that there were two arms of the trans movement, the political arm and then the educational arm. I finished my presentation, and we had the time for questions and comments, and this figure stood up for me on the other side of the circle, and I couldn't really make her out. She's dressed in ordinary androgynous clothes. And she said, "Just one moment, please, Miss Xavier. There is a third arm to the transgender movement. That would be the sociocultural arm. Miss RuPaul gets 500,000 people every 15 minutes in her drive time show on this radio network in New York." And I just realized I had been read out by Sylvia Rivera. And it was very funny. And afterwards, we started talking, and we kind of got to be friends. And I made lots of trips up to New York City in those days in my political work, and got to know Sylvia and learned a lot from her. You can't help but learn from a woman of that strength and that power.
How was the album Changeling received?
Oh, well, it went straight to the top of the tranny charts. It sold about 57 copies. For when I stopped marketing it, because I was moving into a new band. What it did do, it did get me the interest of other transgender musicians. And that's how Femme Messiah was born. In terms of the overall trans population, I think some people loved it. Certainly, I think the favorite song on that for trans women was the Same New Me.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about the song Same New Me in more detail.
I wrote that because when I gender transitioned, I lost my entire male peer group, including my father, my middle brother, and my best friend of 18 years. It was a very painful time for me. So I wrote this song about going through this particular change, and not in kind of explicit terms. So it became more of a song about loss, and then about just picking up the pieces and continuing on, and but at the same time feeling this massive amount of regret that I'm happier now and I'm wholer and more complete than I ever have been. And I'm just really sad that I can't bring you with me into my new life. So that's what it was really about. And it's really hard. I know my friends who listen to it tell me it's their favorite on Changeling because it just expresses so much of that feeling.
Hello, old friend. Yes, it's been a while. Is that a frown instead of your usual smile? Don't be put off. It's no put on. I'll try to explain it in this song. I fought this war that you couldn't have known. Been on this journey, now I'm finally home. I found no why, but I did find who I am. And this is who I'll be, the best I can. So don't be sad. But I am still your friend, the same new me.
It's my favorite song on the album as well. One more comment about Same New Me. When I did my first transgender music show in 2000, I used that song to close the show because it's so powerful. And I was contacted by a listener who said it just brought her to tears.
That's nice. That's very nice. Yeah, I've seen the song actually have that effect when I played it in gatherings of transsexual women before. It kind of gets us right where we live.
Is there an overall message you hope your music gets across?
Yeah, the trans people are ordinary human beings, and that we have emotions and spirits and souls that speak to all of human experience, not just our own. I think our struggle for self, our struggle for physical integrity, for bodies that don't shame us, our struggle for survival speaks to the larger human experience, the human condition, to be exactly who we are, to triumph over adversity, to find our spirit in voice and song and in words. I think that my music is just a reflection of the overall trans experience, of what we can add to the human condition. And I think it is a significant contribution. I think trans people need to be honored for our unique gifts. We understand those twin mysteries, male, female, that everybody else seems to take for granted. But we look at them oh so very carefully, because we have to.